Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Horror, Wine, and Crime. What's going on, Lo, on your end of things today?
Hey, yo, hey. What is going on? We are packing. We are going out of town this weekend to Pennsylvania. Shout out to Gabby graduating from Penn State. Woo woo.
Congratulations.
And the doggies are going to go stay with Uncle Tommy and Aunt Cassandra. So,
sleepover.
Right? They got my niece and nephew there. They're going to have so much fun with little kids. And then, that's kind of what I've been doing here. Just all that one more day of work situation. And then, you know, checklist of packing. And Charlotte's like, I already packed. Except for my car bag and my toiletries. I like car bag. I love it.
Essentials.
Right. but I am going to enjoy this night with the creepies and with KK and tell this really cool story that I found. So that's the vibe I'm in right now.
I'm excited. I saw the title of her story, so I know nothing about it, but she sent me pictures of this. She set the picture for me as far as where we're going to be taking place at, and I'm fully invested.
Right? Now that she knows that I have a story, because I was like, what are we talking about today? She's like, what? Huh?
I was like, oh, shit.
I was like, kidding. I got you.
I was like, let me run to Google really quick, see what's going on in life.
So this story may or may not have been influenced by the name, because it's Winchester Mansion, and it may have some coinkydinks of my two favorite boys from Supernatural, Dean and Sammy Winchester.
Oh, I'm not surprised. This makes sense, though.
Dean Winchester, a.k.a. Jensen Eccles. I might have been drawn to the name.
I love how you got here, though. That's great.
It was, you know, I kind of just went in with an open slate. You know, I went on Google, and I kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do, and then I hit Google, and I started typing, and then this popped up, and I'm like, click, click, and I'm like, I love the name. Let's read it. This is cool. Okay, sold.
I love it. I love when, like, quirky things like that bring you to, like, finding, you know, a story or whatever.
But sadly, no Dean and Sammy are in this story. But wouldn't it be funny if, like, later in life, they did, like, an episode on this or something? Like,
they should.
They're ghost hunters in the series, so.
Yeah, then they definitely should. You should pitch it.
I'll see. They're coming back. They're rebooting it for another season. It comes out in May. I don't think I'm going to catch up in time. I'll probably just have to watch the new season with Charlotte and then go back, because I'm only on season 3 and there's 18 of them.
Oh my gosh, what the heck? 18?
People love them boys, Crystal. You need to watch it.
Damn, it's going to take me 2 years to catch up to the new season.
Well, no shit. It took you like... How long did it take us to do Flight Attendant season 1 and 2?
Oh my gosh. Like a year and a half, maybe? Maybe even 2 years. I don't know.
But something in our crazy defense, we waited till we were together to do them.
That's true. That is true.
And even when we were together, we had other shit that we had to
do.
Yeah. Address.
Right.
But Corbin recommended for me and you to watch Sinners.
I might have heard of that.
It's a new horror movie.
Yes.
He recommended that we do that one.
I think it's in the theaters, right?
Yeah, him and his buddies went to see it.
Okay, yeah, I saw previews for it. I saw more like TikToks of it. I didn't see like a full preview. But it does look scary.
Right.
Scurry.
Well, your dude will be doing sports again soon. Was it golf in the summer or bowling? Uh-huh.
Yep.
So we'll have to get back on our every other Fridays.
Well, he golfs Mondays.
Okay, every other Monday.
Fridays. But I mean, it doesn't matter. We still hang out on Friday. Well, not exchanged.
They can always, you can always bring him and the boys can go disc golf and we can watch horror
That's
movies.
That's true. I'm down.
Because Pat doesn't give no craps about horror movies. He's just not into it.
Not a fan.
Not really.
So weird. I don't understand why.
I know. And yet I said I do. I don't know.
That's true love.
Right? So this story is over the course of about 40 years. Damn. And Sarah Winchester, she is the main feature. So she had this mansion built in San Jose to very bizarre specifications, and we'll get into that. And she did it in order to appease ghosts that she thought were haunting her.
Damn. But okay, on a level, I understand that, because if I thought like I was being haunted, I'd be like, what do you want? I'll do whatever you want.
And you know what? The funny thing is, you would think that, but it's not even like that.
Oh, I can't wait. Lay it on us.
So today, this house is known as the Winchester Mystery House, but at the time of its construction, it was simply Sarah Winchester's house. Sarah Winchester was the widow of William Winchester, heir to Winchester Repeating Arms Company. Her name technically was Sally Lockwood, but a lot of people called her Sarah. So, and her maiden name was Party. So technically she was Sally Party, and she was born June 4th, 1839. So we're going back a little bit.
Just a bit.
She was the fifth child and fourth daughter born to parents Leonard and Sarah Party. She was born in New Haven, Connecticut. Though she was formerly called Sarah, her paternal name was after her grandmother, Sally Party Goodyear, and she was called Sally all in her life and signed all her correspondence as Sally. Which I don't know when or why. I guess it never really said when she turned to Sarah, but eventually at some point she became Sarah.
When she became a mansion owner, she felt more sophisticated. She's like, I am Sarah now, not Sally.
Right? Sarah's father was a well-crafted in woodwork. He crafted carriages and even had a company called Leonard Party and Company. Her mother was a very high socialite in the society world. Doesn't that sound very Bridgerton?
Like, even the way you read it was very Bridgerton.
Dearest readers, today in Oxford, we will tell a tale of the Winchesters. Yours truly, Lady Whistledown.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, I'm such a nerd.
No, that's very on vibe, I feel like.
So, Sarah Winchester grew up in the world of privilege. She spoke four languages, attended the best schools all around, one of them being Yale College. She was pretty serious about her grades. She was a serious student. She was influenced basically by her world of being privileged. And I think at such a young age, she just liked fancy and wanted fancy. You know, hard work, you get fancy, you know. She became an excellent student. She demonstrated proficiency in musical compositions, math, and science. So she can do algebra and probably play a violin, and I cannot do any instruments, and I pretty much stop after double-digit multiplication.
Yep, same here. I can play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star on the piano, but that's about it.
Yeah, and a little bit of chopsticks.
I can't even do that.
She was also the tiniest, teensiest little thing. She was 4'10 and 95 pounds. She was known for beauty. She even acquired the nickname Belle of New Haven. This bitch just had it all, okay?
Like, I know. She's one of those bitches that I'm just like, look at with envy.
I know. Like, she's beautiful and smart.
Like, what the heck?
Right. So this puts her in that higher society, so she can find that equally privileged man now too, you know? So Sarah was 23, and this is like the American Civil War time. So that's happening. But she goes on to meet and marry 25-year-old William Wirt Winchester, which I'm really glad that he was only 25, because so many of these stories, there's like, you know, the men are so much older. And I was also happy that this was on her own accord. There was no arranged marriage or forced marriage. This was like they met they on their own. They fell in love, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, especially back in that time, that I feel like that would be rare.
Yeah, which I actually take it back. It did say that there was possibly known that they were childhood friends. But either way, it wasn't like you shall pick a husband, you know, like they do on so many of those Pride and Prejudice shows.
Right. I'm like, is that how it actually was?
So Tuesday, September 30th, 1862, they wed. William was a son of a wealthy shirt manufacturer who would later become known for being a founder of Winchester Repeating Arms Company. William was also being groomed to take over the company one day, but Oliver had developed interest in firearms business, and after taking control of the Volcanic Arms Company, he established the Winchester Repeating Arms Company in 1866. Not long after that, William sold his interest in the shirt company and became the secretary of Winchester's Repeating Arms. The family business was booming. It was becoming very successful. The Winchester model 1873, that was known as the rifle that won the West. Up until 1916, they sold over 700,000 rifles. So not only did they celebrate with his parents and his success, even President Theodore Roosevelt was delighted.
Wow.
I mean, you're hanging with the presidents, you're really society. You're high up there, dude.
You're going places.
So while they were having a happy, blissful marriage, things only got more happy and blissful on June 15th, 1866, when they gave birth to a baby girl named Annie. Unfortunately, though, the baby will only live to 1 month before passing away to marasmus.
Oh, that's so sad.
I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly. But it is a form of malnutrition characterized by energy deficiency, and it can occur to anyone with severe malnutrition, and it usually occurs in children. Body weight is reduced to less than 62% of the normal body weight. So I don't think it was anything that they did. I think it was just the way the baby was born. It just wasn't getting what it needed, and it was just so tiny it couldn't stay developed.
Oh, but that's so sad.
Very sad. The couple was devastated and they withdrew from society. Sarah, she remained secluded for nearly a year. They chose not to have any more children because they were not able to get past the what if. You know, you go through it once, like the fear of going through that again. I get that. It can be overwhelming.
Oh, absolutely.
Then on June 1869, Sally's father died at the age of 60, possibly from rheumatoid arthritis. Can you imagine? Because so many people have that right now.
Yeah. And I feel like it's not, I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think that's common to die from, at least not today.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we've come so far with medicine, like arthritis. I feel it in my hands right now. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah.
It's crazy how far we've come in medicine since 1869.
Right.
But between 1880 and 1881, Sally or Sarah, I got to pick which one to go with because I typed this up in two different ways. So we're going to stick with Sarah. Sarah lost three of her close family members. Her mother died in May of 1880. Her father-in-law, Oliver, died on December that same year. And then in December that same year, her husband died of tuberculosis in March of 1881. So that's a lot for her to go through.
I was like traumatizing. Oh my gosh.
And it was funny, not funny, but when I was typing this up, I feel like I did a story where someone lost so many of her family members that she ended up becoming like a murderer and crazy and whatever. This is not that story, but it kind of gave me that vibe when I was.
Yeah. I mean, that takes a huge toll on a person to lose that many people in that short amount of time. Like, not saying you should murder somebody, but like the amount of stress that puts on your body, I can only imagine the mental health downspiral that would bring.
Yes. And she still remained intact. I mean, she did some questionable things, but her questionable things, you got to be like, okay, we can live with that.
Like, right.
So after William's death in 1881, Sarah inherited roughly $20 million. Now, in that time, if you do the math for today, that'd be about getting $500 million today.
Cha-ching, what the heck?
And then she also received 50% of the Winchester Arms Company, which left her with a continued income to $1,000 a day, which today that would be like getting $26,000 a day.
Could you imagine?
I would be happy just with $1,000.
Same.
I'm like, I can make $30,000 a month work, okay?
Right. That'd be fine with me.
Right. Now, in 1886, Sarah bought a 40-acre plot of land in San Jose, California, which included an 8-room cottage. Now, going forward, there are few rumors how the story takes place. Some stuff is kind of debunked. Some stuff we really don't know 100% because, well, nobody was there that's still alive as it happened. So, I mean, the rumor mill, but we're going to keep going as what we have. But legend has it that Sarah wanted a fresh start. After losing her entire family, she needed a new change, which rightfully so, right? So she moved with her extended family, which I believe was like her sister-in-law, her sister, and I think like a niece or something like that. And but then once she moved with them, they all ended up taking jobs and moving elsewhere, but her niece ended up staying with her. So she wasn't like alone, but she was still lonely, you know.
Yeah.
Now, she had expansions done to the house, but when she asked, she said it was just simply repairs. When people asked her what was going on, she said it's just damage from the earthquake that hit on April 18th of 1906. Simple repairs. She would go on to say that it's only to make it livable again. She could care less on the functions. Okay, Sarah. Okay. But now she's like, I got this boatload of money, this cottage, no family. So what does one do? How do we get some advice on what to do? Well, she decides she's going to seek out advice from a medium.
As one would.
I mean, I guess back in the day, maybe before churches were huge, maybe this is what people did. Who's to say? Although confidentially, it stayed between them two, so we don't know exactly what was said between the two of them. But it has been said that she was able to channel her husband, William, and he told her to make her way west and start a new life in California. That's why she headed to California. And she's like, but what do I do with all this money? He told her to build a mansion for all the spirits who have fallen victim to the Winchester rifles. She'd probably be haunted by them for the rest of her life, but another theory was that she was going to do that and it was going to pacify the spirits while under construction took place, and then it was going to confuse some of the evil spirits who were up to no good. That's why she chose some of the things she chose for the house, and we'll get into that as well. So she was thinking ahead.
Interesting, interesting take.
So she began to do seances in her house to create, or to ask how to create interior designs. And they would give her advice. And so that would explain some of the unusual style of this house, which is very unusual.
She's like, yeah, my interior designer, they're on the other side.
Right? Could you imagine? Some sites and rumors said that she hired workers to work around the clock, 24 hours a day, every season, all day, every day until it was done. Now, some people diffused that and said, no, she actually gave them time off. Some of the stuff was seasonal. That wasn't true. She would have to pay $29,000 a day to have those workers working all day, every day around the clock. But I mean, let's face it, she did have the money to do that if she wanted to.
Right.
But from what I could tell just by the story and some of the research, it doesn't sound like she was a cruel, heartless person. To me, it sounded like she was actually a very genuine person.
Yeah, because if she was trying to, like, I don't know, just connect with her husband, and that's what the medium told her to do, I feel like she probably had, you know, good intentions with everything, regardless if she was, like, talking to these ghosts actually or not. Like, I don't think she I'm sure didn't have any bad intentions behind it, or like superficial intentions. It was just kind of like, all right, let's go with the flow. And also, she's probably super lonely, so
yeah. Like I said, there was rumors that she had a niece with her, but in other articles it didn't really go on to detail of how long, or if the niece ended up leaving eventually. It didn't really talk much about it, so that could have been hearsay as well too. So
right.
So the cottage was being built and ended up being rebuilt up to a 24,000 square foot mansion. Now, anybody that would walk through this mansion, they would immediately be able to see she did not go cheap, okay? Sarah got the finest of finest things. She was fancy, okay? I mean, and you got to remember the times, okay? So one of the details that Sarah wanted in the mansion was redwood. But then as it was being finished, she did not like the way it looked, so she had them change it. No big deal. Only 20,000 gallons of paint to fix it, but you know what? We'll get it done.
Gosh.
I know. Maybe just stick with the redwood, Sarah. No? Okay.
It was probably fine the first time.
Yeah, probably. But you know what? Also, this is like the 1800s. So maybe, like, I mean, let's not lick the walls. If we thought lead paint was in 1990s, can you imagine what's in the 1800 paint?
Oh my gosh. I don't even want to know.
So let's not put our mouths by that, okay?
Good plan.
All the chandeliers were silver and gold. Her windows were all stained glass, and not just stained glass, Tiffany stained glass with his signature on some of them.
Oh, sheep.
Yeah, like I said, she's fancy.
She didn't skimp out on nothing.
She actually tried to have one of the Tiffany windows set up on a certain way, that when the sun hit it, there would be a rainbow that would go across the floor. But due to some construction, like the way the walls malfunction, like the way they got set up, I don't know. The way it all ended up, put it that way, it didn't work the way she wanted to. So that's kind of a bummer for her. But Sarah utilized indoor plumbing to build hot water shower, one working toilet, which you're like, okay, big deal, but that was unheard of back then.
That's how you know she's rich. She's got that.
People didn't have flushable toilets and hot water. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it didn't say it flushed. It just said a toilet.
I bet hers flushed.
She had a gas generator to run the house's electricity, and she had a push button developed to turn on the lights, which was truly like revolutionary at that time. Like, nobody had push buttons to turn the lights on. Okay. Like, now people are like, Alexa, turn on my living room light.
Right. They just clap and the light turns on.
Right. The clapper. Yeah. That was the 90s too.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? Clap on. Clap on. The snapper clapper. So she had three elevators that were electric and powered, an innovation that was, well, yeah, it just said horizontally hydraulic elevator piston. So I guess it's just telling me that it goes, you know, up and down. But yeah, so she had an elevator. And she also had forced air and heating was installed in her house.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. She also designed on her own the indoor cranks to open her windows. I still have those in my bathrooms right now. So thank you, Sarah. I will think of her every time I open my windows.
Right? Iconic.
Right? Sarah Winchester had many of the house's pillars, columns installed upside down because she believed they would be more load-bearing and structural sound. The house was built on a floating foundation, which has most likely helped save it from more extensive damage during earthquakes. The conservatory upstairs was built so all the plants could be watered at once without drainage ditches. They built all the way down to reach the kitchen sink to eliminate water waste and to be reusable. And then this was also one of the first homes to incorporate wool installation. I mean, she had the money. She was going to put it to good use.
She went all out.
Now, there was also notes while this was going on. She was seen walking around town and properties. And when she did go out, she would wear a black dress and a black veil. And that was to basically state that she was still mourning the loss of her family. Though Sarah never received an education in architecture, she had a passion for it. Regardless of how much it makes any sense or her reasoning behind each decision, the grieving widow, haunted soul or female, Freemason, rebellious in its own right, Mrs. Winchester didn't let traditional custom stop her from the building the house that she alone, or maybe not depending on what you believe, dissuade her architect that she wants. Now in the prime of the mansion, in its heyday, so to speak, parts of it stood 7 stories tall.
Wow.
But construction, now the construction did slow down due to an earthquake in 1906 in San Francisco, which sadly it did knock some of the 7 stories down. But this is the craziest thing of all. Sarah had that whole thing built and she never stayed there. She never slept there. She didn't live there. I know, I'm telling you, if you could see Crystal's face, she's like, wait, what? She stayed in Atherton, California, and went back and forth. She claimed the big house overwhelmed her and that she only went over there to do her seances, ask her questions, check in with the ghosts and spirits, and that's where she communicated with them, and then she left them there and she went back home.
That is so wild to have so much money to build a giant mansion and have all this like lavish extremities added to it, and then not even live there. Like, okay, queen, like,
She literally built it for her spirits.
wow. I hope they were thankful because that's very nice.
On September 5th, 1922, Sarah passed away due to heart failure, but she was 83. And I feel like 83 for back then, that's a pretty long life.
Yeah, that really is.
Even after death, a lot was kind of like hush hush because she never gave any interviews. She never talked to press about it. She didn't really talk to many people. There was no journals. There was no letters. She really was a mystery. But in true American today factors, you can find a documentary on this if you guys want more answers and details.
Always a documentary.
Oh, this is a documentary on everything.
For real.
Charlotte just tried to show me a lighter today at a store. She's like, you need to buy this. And it was a cat on it. And it said, not everything has to have a podcast.
That's funny.
So at the time, the construction had kind of on the house kind of had ceased, but it was completed with 160 rooms, 2,000 doors, 10,000 windows, 47 staircases, 47 fireplaces, 13 bathrooms, six kitchens, three elevators, secret passageways, upside down columns and staircases that led nowhere, sealed off rooms, 52 skylights, and 17 random chimneys.
Bro, what?
Well, she said some of it was to confuse the evil spirits. So she was, I guess, funny in her heyday. I don't
Yeah, she's like, we're just gonna trick
know.
them. We're gonna. But although I feel bad for people who probably tried to like walk in there and then did they just fall? Like, how did that work?
Well, if you look at some of the pictures, it's like a staircase that just goes up and then it just stops. Like there's a ceiling and wall, like all around. It just goes nowhere. Like,
That's so funny.
yeah, you can Google it and it'll show you some of the funny little pictures. Like there's a picture of somebody up there, like at the very top, all scrunched. It's like because it just stops.
My gosh, it's wild.
There's been theories that the doors are for evil spirits, that she would chase them out. So she would chase them to the doors, she would open them up, they'd kind of fly outside, and then she would close the door and evil spirits be gone. I guess I don't know if that's before, like, you sage, now you just push them out.
Right, get them all riled up and then shove them out.
Right. So another crazy part about this is that when she died, there was no mention of her house in the will. It wasn't left to anybody, so it just kind of became for the state. And the state looked at it and they claimed this house to be worthless because of the damage from the earthquake. Now, I might not be a smart man, but if I saw that house, and even with the damage, I wouldn't say it would be worthless, especially with Tiffany windows and
That has to be the furthest thing from worthless for a house. That's a joke. Wow.
I know. But one local investor came across it when it went up for auction and he bought it and he paid over $135,000 for it, which back then that's probably like a lot. But I gotta
Right.
feel, I mean, it had to be worth. I don't know. I don't know what it, I don't know how to do what houses were worth back then. But like, I'm looking at my house now. And if you look at what I paid for my house, my Lord, what that house would be worth.
That house had to be worth
Millions, like way millions.
millions.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like 20 maybe.
160 bedrooms and six kitchens, like three elevators. Like, yeah, that it had to be worth so much.
Right. I mean, that's like the best deal in the entire freaking world, I feel like.
I know. What the heck?
So the investor bought it, but then he leased it out and ended up leasing it out to John and Mamie Brown. They ended up taking it over and they turned it into a tourist attraction and opened it up for tourists shortly after Sarah's death. And it became a landmark in 1974. So now that you got the story and the life behind it, you probably ask, okay, so why do you guys think it's haunted? Let me tell you a little bit of some stuff. So there was the wheelbarrow ghost. Now, this has been rumored that he generally dresses in overalls and he carries an old wooden toolbox and he pushes the wheelbarrow. He has been seen in the basement pushing it, which is why they call him the wheelbarrow ghost. But he's still looking after the place. He's also been seen working on the fireplace in the ballroom and pushing a wheelbarrow down the long, dark hallway. So still taking care of the place.
It's like sweet, but scary at the same time. Like, I would be horrified to see that. But at the same time, the sentiment of it, I'm like, that's kind of nice. He's just taking care of the place.
Yeah, there was a psychic that went in there and said that she felt nothing but good energy in there. And she said, especially on the third floor near the servants' quarters, she said she felt a lot of energy, a lot of activity, and it felt like a lot of employees that were just coming to visit the place because they were happy there.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So at least if when we go, if we feel ghosts, then we know it's all positive energy. So no fear, no fear.
Yeah, because she chased all the bad ones out of there.
Out the random doors.
Yep, exactly.
They said that they've heard footsteps of around Sarah's bedroom, doorknobs turning on their own. They say that Sarah just kind of, you know, makes her present in the house. But I don't know, maybe it is her visiting, maybe not. I don't know, because she didn't live there, so she didn't die there. But who's to say, you know? She still put her heart and soul into making it as beautiful as she could. So maybe now that she's passed, she still goes and talks to her spirit friends now that she can see them on the other side instead of talking to them right. From the other side. Like,
yeah, it's like now she's like fully not lonely if she's there, like with all of them.
Right. And who knows, maybe her baby and husband are there too, you know?
Right.
Lots of people claim that they've been overcome with chilly, cold spells while they were there. So certain spots of the house all of a sudden get very, very cold. Some people claim that they get temporary loss of vision. Now that would kind of freak me out.
Yeah, same. I'd be like, what's happening?
And then there's the story of the invisible hand. So years ago, a gentleman was working on restoring some projects in the mansion, and he was working in the section where there was multiple fireplaces, and this was also known as the Hall of Fires. The house was dead quiet before the tourists started to come in. He was up on a ladder, he was doing this thing, and he felt somebody tap him on the back. When he turned around to ask the person what they wanted, nobody was there, just him. After having a conversation with himself, like, dude, you're imagining shit, like, shake it off, get back to work, and that's what he did. Then he felt another sensation, but this time it felt like somebody was pushing on his back while he was on the ladder. My dude can take a hit. He was like, okay, enough is enough. He quickly climbed down the ladder, grabbed his toolbox, and hurried out of the room and went to a different part of the house. And he said he did not want to be in a room where nobody wanted him, so he's going to mind his business and move on.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I got you, dude. I get that. He's like, not today. I'll try it a different day.
He's like, that's okay. I'm going to go.
The next one is the sign of heavy sigh. So a tour guide named Samantha, she led visitors into what they call the Daisy bedroom. And that was the room that in 1906 that Sarah was trapped in during the earthquake. Samantha was about to give her speech, and then she stopped in her tracks when she heard a very loud sigh from outside the room. Now, she turned around thinking it was one of the guests who had lingered behind and was kind of like upset because the tour had started, but when she turned around, there was nobody there. But then she waited a few minutes and her eyes adjusted and she said, wait, somebody is there. It was a small, dark person. And she saw this person gliding around the corner. So she walked down the hall a little bit to look around the corner. But again, nobody was there. But while she was standing there, she heard another big, deep sigh. And she thinks that maybe it was Sarah, probably annoyed that everybody was in her bedroom.
Oh my gosh.
Let's see. And just a couple more little tales. In 1975, just 1 year after the house was placed on National Register of Historic Places, Keith Kittle, who was the manager of the property at the time, invited a woman named Jean Borgen to visit. And she was at the time a well-known psychic in the Bay Area. And Kittle thought to herself that she was going to make a visit and it would be great publicity, and especially a good little stunt for Halloween. She didn't really expect anything to come out of it, but she hoped she would get some attention for the house. Shortly after arriving, the psychic naturally held a press conference because why not? And when asked if there were ghosts in the house, she said yes, she had already seen one this morning. She also planned to hold a late night seance that evening. And when the time came for the seance, she chose one of the bedrooms for its location. A table was set up and another psychic, Joy Adams, sat down while Jean paced back and forth trying to locate cold spots. She said all the questions of the spirits should be directed to Joy. And by this time, she had entered a trance state. One of the reporters spoke up and asked a question, apparently to Sarah Winchester, asking if she liked living in the house. A reply came from Joy's mouth, but the voice was of an older woman. Yes, I love it very much, she said and began to laugh, explaining that she had just remembered some of the wonderful things that had happened while living in the house. Then she suddenly stopped laughing and said rather sharply, the townspeople, they always talk about me. While Joy was talking, Jean was still walking around the room with her hands outstretched, hoping to encounter patches of cold air that would indicate the presence of spirits. She suddenly stopped and pointed to one of the reporters who cried she felt the hands pushing downward on his shoulders. The witnesses said that Jean's face suddenly aged before their eyes. Her hair appeared to turn gray and her face became etched with lines. In those moments, she was unable to stand and appeared to be suffering a heart attack.
Damn.
It only lasted a moment and then it was gone. And when it was over, Jean stated that Sarah had been with them and that she had that discomfort that she felt was because there were so many people in the room. Because Sarah, after all, had closely guarded her privacy. And in 1979, author Richard Weiner, or Weiner, however you want to say it, and Nancy Osborne visited the Winchester house while doing research for a book about haunted places. Now, they did get the permission to spend the night there from Kittle. They originally planned to sleep in the blue room, which was not a seance room, as we already know, but one of the tour guides pointed to another room. It was that bedroom, she said, that always frightened her. It was this room which Sarah was trapped in 1906 during the earthquake, or so the story goes. The guide really couldn't pinpoint any particular thing about that room that bothered her, but she did say sometimes the room just gets very, very cold, but only in certain places. And that's when Weiner and Osborne decided to stay in that room. They hadn't been there very long when they discovered the area of the room that was much colder than the surrounding atmosphere. Thinking that it might be a draft, they searched for a place where the wind might be coming from, but they couldn't find anything. He realized, too, that the cold air, it wasn't moving. It was perfectly still. He later claimed that occupying the area would be roughly be about the size of a human body. Even though they were convinced they were not alone in their room, they eventually went to sleep, but only for a little bit, because just after 2 a.m., Nancy shook Weiner awake. "Wake up. Do you hear that?" It was the sounds of piano music, and even though there was no one else in the house, a short time later, they heard footsteps walking down the hallway outside their bedroom. They looked to see who was out there, but found nothing. Neither one of them went back to sleep that night. Odds are that the events that were reported over the year, other odd events were reported over the years. So a woman took a tour through the house one day and encountered a small gray-haired lady seated at the kitchen. At the end of the tour, she asked the guide about the lady dressed as Sarah and why this costumed woman had not been pointed out in the tour. Well, the tour guide told her there is no one dressed in a costume.
Creepy.
I know, right? In 1979, several employees were buffing floors on the second level of the house when they heard footsteps on the floors above them. They were the only ones in the building at the time. In January 1981, Alan Witzel was locking up the house for the night, and as he walked the entire route of the tour, he shut all the lights off as he went. He then locked the door, walked out to the parking lot to get into his car, but when he turned and looked at the house, all the lights on the third floor had been turned back on. A security guard once admitted that the house had an inordinate number of false alarms. Even though no one has ever found anything inside, motion detectors are tripped, even though no exterior alarms were triggered. And although someone is moving around inside the house, even though there is no way they could have gotten in. One summer afternoon, a tour guide was on the third floor when the servants' call station somehow slammed shut. There was no wind. There was no way it could have closed the door on its own. No one else was on the third floor at the time, so there was no explanation of what happened. Or there was no wind that could have closed the door. So obviously it had to close on its own. And there was no one else there. Chris, I might be losing Crystal on this tour day.
Oh my gosh, I know. You're like convincing me not to go.
But we can't sleep there. So, I mean, just to walk through it, you'll be fine.
Yeah, that makes it better. I would not sleep there.
On the evening, a tour supervisor named Mike Bray was closing the house for the night. He was walking upstairs in the hallway when he heard the distant sound of someone whispering his name. He searched all over for someone else in the house, but this occurred at the end of the day. The rest of the staff members had already left. The list goes, I mean, there's more and more stories. It goes on and on. But stories have been told and passed on for 50 years. Witnesses claim to seeing Sarah Winchester, hearing footsteps, doors, lights. I mean, anything you can think of happened. So I don't know. Is this really haunted, or is this kind of like a Amityville thing? Is it all a hoax just to get people to come and see the house and pay for the tour? I don't know. I guess it's all your perspective, but nearly 100 years after the house opened, millions of guests have visited the Winchester House. They were mentioned in top destination lists around the world. Top Destination US Today, The Most Mysterious Place on Earth, MSN, Top Haunted Place in the World by Travel, a Top Haunted Destination by Travel Channel, Top 10 Haunted Places by Time Magazine, a Top 10 Best Haunted Destination by USA Today.
I feel like it must be haunted to have that many stories, like, of people having, like, experiences there or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, if you would have asked me at the beginning of the story, I'd be like, maybe she just, you know, bless her heart, but maybe she just kind of lost it a little bit after she was like grieving so much, and maybe it was like messing with her mental health. But like now I'm kind of like, no, maybe she was like talking to ghosts.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not too far-fetched. Mm-mm. I mean, maybe we like ghosts. Maybe we'll take a penny and see if we can get it to like raise up a wall.
Right. We'll do the tests.
Right. I believe you in trouble, like, Crystal.
I feel like those like things that happened to people while they were there makes it seem more realistic because it's nothing like so crazy and dramatic where it's like, this is fake. Like it's stuff that I would be like, oh, I mean, that seems like what a haunted house would like, things would happen there.
And I think like in a sort of kind of maybe roundabout way, like it's almost kind of like a sweet story. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's no angry. She's not out to hurt anybody. So they built a house for the spirits that her husband's company of rifles killed. You know what I mean? So it's like, hey, I'm sorry, my company hurt you. Here's a house for you. Like,
right. Yeah. And if she is like there now, like you said, she didn't live there when she was alive. But if she's like there now, it kind of makes it sweet if she's just like hanging out with all of them now.
Which, like, they say she doesn't live there, but then they say like, oh, the Daisy room was her room. So I feel like maybe she did stay some nights there, you know, like.
Yeah, like maybe she was like on a part-time basis or just like whenever she would have to spend the night, she just would.
It kind of reminds me, do you ever watch the TV series Ghosts?
No.
It's cute. You should check it out. It's with, did you watch the TV series iZombie when it was on?
No.
She's failing all the tests,
people. I know, I'm sorry.
It's on the, I'm going to say it's on Hulu. But it's
is called, it a comedy? I feel like, yeah. Did I watch an episode with you one time?
Did you?
I feel like I did. I feel like I watched one episode with you one time. Because you were watching it. At the time. Yeah, I did. I watched one episode with you before.
Okay. It's very cute, very funny. And this kind of like what this reminds me of. Like she inherits this hotel. And so they move there to fix it up and try to open it. But she can see ghosts and talk to them. He cannot. But there's ghosts of all different generations of different ways and whys. And I don't know why. I forget why some of them like show up there because they're just, they all have a different backstory. But it's funny. And it kind of just kind of reminded me of this, like, are they all just kind of walking around this hotel, like, or this house? And like, are they making fun of like the living and like trying to like haunt them, like get out of the house? Like,
that'd be pretty funny. Like, just to kind of see things on that side to be like, are they just like fucking with people to be funny and like to have fun? Yeah. I feel like it's a very real possibility. Yeah. It made me think of when you were reading it. So your mind went there. Mine went to, you know, Eddie Murphy's movie, The Haunted Mansion.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It made me think of that because, like, the girl's name was Sarah. And kind of opposite, though, he was a widow and, like, she died. And, like, he was, like, in this house trying to, like, fill it up and, like, replace it. And there was a bunch of, like, ghosts in there. So the whole time you were talking about it, it was making me think of that movie.
Okay. I think I saw the first one. I didn't see the second one, but
yeah, there's like a new one that came out recently, I think within the last year, and it was okay. It wasn't bad, but definitely the first one is where it's at.
Okay. I mean, but if we're talking Eddie Murphy, I mean, you know, one of his best roles is Donkey.
Oh, I mean, can't get any better than that.
I mean, maybe some Beverly Hills Cop, you know, but Donkeys.
Donkey takes the cake.
But yeah, you should check out Ghost. It's a fun little show, just like if you need, you know, something for background or, you know, quick to watch.
Yeah, like a light watch.
People keep telling me to watch Nine Perfect Strangers. I haven't watched it yet. I just found the book that apparently I bought a long time ago. So I think that'll be my next read. Okay. And then I'm going to watch it. But it's a Nicole Kidman series.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
I think it came out a couple years ago. But okay. Lisa, I think, has watched it twice already.
Is it like a drama or is it like a comedy?
I think it's drama. I think it's like, I forget why all these strangers come together, but I don't know if it's considered a horror or
thriller, maybe. I feel like she does a lot of thriller stuff.
Yeah, it all takes place like at a health resort.
I'll have to check it out.
Maybe it's not
thriller or something.
Because looking at the back of the book, it says Hallmark writing. So, well, it says it has no shortage of secrets, lies, and social intrigue, but at its core, it's also good old fashioned fun and storytelling. But she's the same person that did like Big Little Lies.
Oh, I liked that one a lot. Yeah, that was a good one.
It's the same writer.
Okay, so it'll be good.
So I don't think it's a horror. I think it's drama.
I always love a good drama, so I'm down for that.
Apparently it's on Hulu.
Okay, I'll have to check it out. Nine Perfect Strangers.
And we love some Nicole Kidman, so.
Oh, yeah.
I just watched The Family Affair.
Oh, well, with Zac Efron?
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of that one.
It was okay. It was kind of like boring. Was not one of her best. Yeah.
Yeah, she looked, I don't even know how she looked. Like, I guess I'm used to seeing her as that like sexy, darker, whatever. And this one, she was like a loving mom.
Right. Yeah, it was definitely a different
role. Mom clothes. You know what I mean? Like, it was okay. There was no real, like, nothing that really grabbed me in it.
Yeah, it was like one of those where, like, you could just watch, like, once and be fine not ever seeing again.
Yeah, I had a friend over and we had went to eat and then she was working on something on her computer and I was doing something on my computer and she's like, should we turn, like, the TV on or music? I was like, yeah. And then I was just like, bloop, 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 you know. The TiVo noise.
Yeah.
I don't even have TiVo, but it's like bloop, bloop, bloop. I'm just like kind of going through and I'm like, oh, have you seen this one? And she's like, I can't remember if she did or not, but I was like, yeah, let's just, so I just hit play to play it.
Yeah.
And then she left and I finished it and I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of one where it's just like, meh, it was all right.
It's like, Zach,
go ahead.
I was going to say, Zach, what'd you do to your face? A little too much surgery. You went a little too far. Like, a little too
tight. Yeah, like, he did break his jaw on, like, something years ago, so he did have to have surgery, but also I think he went too far and, like, did other stuff too, I think. He looks very different, which is sad. Sad for my middle school heart.
Corbin's band just played their concert last night and I don't think it was his group but the group that went on before him, one of their songs was Senior Year. I think that's High School Musical 3, they said.
Maybe if I heard it I would recognize it.
I don't know, they made a joke like all you moms might want to get up and dance or something. Pat looked at me and he's like, stay put. I was like, I'm gonna get up and dance.
Stay put.
And I was not, I didn't do the High School Musicals. Cheryl said I watched them with her. I might have did the first one. I know I didn't do the second two.
But. Yeah, there were like between, I think the first one came out in like 2006 or something. So I don't, yeah, they were being made from like 2006 to like maybe 2010 or something. But I was there for them. I loved them. Those are my Those are my favorite movies at the time.
I finished White Collar. The series is done.
Nice.
Almost had a stroke. I won't get into it because spoiler alerts. I know the show is very old, but there might people out there might still be going through it. I'd like for you to watch it. I think you'd really enjoy it.
So, like the end was a crazy thing?
Very last episode, yes.
Huh. I hate when they do that. I like love and hate it at the same time.
I mean, they cleaned it up. They, you know, locked it up. But I'm just like, my heart rate was going up a little bit.
Oh, gosh.
But now I'm just trying to finish Supernatural. I got a lot to go.
Yeah, with freaking 18 seasons.
It's a lot of Dean, though.
Yeah. It's good for you because, like, you're loving watching it. So you're like, just keep them coming. But yeah, that's a lot. That's a record TV show with that many seasons.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Law and Order is killing it.
Yeah, actually, I don't even know how many seasons of that there are. There's got to be like almost 30 at this point.
Is it a silent competition between Simpsons and Law and Order?
I know. I'm going to Google that. Let's see. I'm going to ask Siri, how many seasons of Law and Order are there? 20.
I feel 20 like seasons. More, I feel like it's been on longer than that. My mom used to watch it way back.
Okay. 20 doesn't sound like a lot. How many seasons of The Simpsons are there? 36. They take the cake.
Figures.
I'm not a Simpsons gal.
Nah, I used to be, but I think I surpassed it.
Yeah.
Bart's been in fourth grade for 36 seasons.
Very weird. They're in a time lapse.
Right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show.
I did. I'm excited for our trip to the mansion.
Right. The flight to California is probably going to be more than the mansion.
Literally. It's more than that guy paid for the mansion when he bought it.
Right. Well, maybe soon that whole teleportation thing will happen.
Here's to hoping.
I don't know. I thought we'd be in flying cars by now. I mean, did anyone else miss it when we watched Back to the Future?
I know. What happened there?
But I enjoyed researching this one and reading about it. And I'm going to hold a little special place for Sarah because I feel like everything she went through, she still did good. She did good with her money. She didn't become crazy. She didn't remarry and, you know, all the stuff. She took it in stride. So we can all learn a little bit from Sarah.
Right. And she built an iconic house with Tiffany windows. Like, who can say that?
Right.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Thank you, Lo. I love those kinds of stories. Makes it not lighter because she went through a lot of stuff, but definitely just like an interesting place, it seems like.
Yeah, of course. Was that Agnes Waterhouse, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Didn't she, like, go through the witch trials?
That's the one I think I was thinking of. Where, like,
yeah, her children kept dying. And they thought she was a witch, and then they killed her.
Yeah, and she was just kind of like, her mom was mean to her, and then she started, like, taking it out on her kid. And her daughter.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Agnes.
I think that's the one I was thinking of when I did the story. Like, because she lost, like, her husband and her child. And then when she did have the baby girl, she was, like, really tough on her and, like, abused her.
Yeah. Because I think she was, like, going through some, obviously, mental issues after they both died.
Yeah.
Yeah, so similar there, except I would say with Sarah,
yeah,
she went about it a little different, but.
Yep.
Crazy. Look up the pictures of this place, though, because it's insane.
Yeah, I'll try to post some. I know I haven't been on my A game of social media. I do tend to sit down one day and go back and post some different pictures and stuff from our show. Get back on that social media game.
Social media grind. You're our social media star.
I'm supposed to be. I haven't been lately.
Hey, it happens. It happens. But yes, thank you again for taking us down this Winchester tale. I love how you, I think my favorite part is just how you got to this story.
Yeah. The Dean Winchester. Oh, Dean. But I am going to get ready for my vacation and then I'm going to come back and Crystal's going to have something fun and exciting to talk to you guys about. And it's going to be another fascinating show.
Yes, ma'am. Everybody wish Lo to have fun on her vacation this weekend. Although you'll hear this after she's back, but you know, whatevs.
I'll be in Hershey on Saturday getting all the chocolates.
So ooh, yes.
I'm probably going to come back like 70 pounds heavier.
That's okay. It'll come off fast because, like, I feel like when you're on vacation and you, like, gain that vacation weight, it, like, comes off pretty quick because it's mostly just water weight.
Okay, I'll believe you. But, you know, I tried to tell the story at the dinner with the four fingers forehead and everybody just laughed at me. I told them.
It's true. It's true. They're lame if they don't believe you.
Maybe I'll have to later dig up the article and send it in the group chat of me and Pat so you can prove it.
It is true. I've heard that my entire life.
Okay. I believe you. I believe you.
I stand firm on that. Four.
Oh my gosh. All right, we're going to leave it at that note. So
yeah,
in case you missed it, if you got four fingers, you put them on your forehead. And if it fits perfectly, you got the perfect size forehead. If there's room for more fingers, then sorry.
You got a five head. You got a five head. It happens, but it's fine.
And if you got a six and seven, then buy some beanies.
You're smart. We'll just say that you're
very
smart.
Big brain. Yeah. Yes. So... All right. Well, on that note, we got to go.
Stay creepy.
Bye.
Bye.